Welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RT Radio 1 with Justin McCarthy. The US President Donald Trump has questioned whether Russia's leader Vladimir Putin is serious about ending the war in Ukraine. In a post on his social media platform Truth Social, Donald Trump criticized Russian missile attacks on Ukrainian cities and said that it made him think that Vladimir Putin doesn't want to stop the war. Mr. Trump had previously said that Russia and Ukraine were very close to a deal following talks between his envoy Steve Witkoff and the Russian president on Friday. Well, let's get some analysis on where we are now, and we can speak with Yulia Joccia, Professor of European Security at Georgetown University, who runs the Black Sea Programme at the Middle East Institute. Yulia, thank you very much for joining us. We've had mixed messages this week from Donald Trump about the prospects of a peace deal in Ukraine. Where do you see things now?
First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back with you. I think we are in a spot not so different from where we've been over the last few weeks or months. The only difference is that, is what you're referring to in the mixed messages, is that Donald Trump now seems to listen a little bit to reason. Whereas over the last few weeks and months, especially through his special envoy, the real estate expert from New York City, he has been listening and really just partially repeating Kremlin messages about the war, siding obviously with Russia and showing that the United States cannot be a neutral mediator in this war, and also kind of confirming for those of us who have been watching Russia for years and decades now that it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, to do a deal with Russia, especially when Russia doesn't want to stop the war.
And in his post last night, Donald Trump also threatened sanctions on Russia and on Russian banks if it doesn't come to the table. Is that a threat which is likely to get a response from Russia?
Not necessarily. I mean, we already have made, under U.S. leadership, the collective West, if you'd like, has made in a matter of a few months, back in 2022, we've made Russia into the most sanctioned country on earth, and that has followed then with, as you know, 16 sanctions packages from the European Union, and several, the Americans are not counting in packages, but several replicating packages from the United States. So Russia is pretty sanctioned now. There's definitely that follow or work on sanctions will tell you there's definitely room for more, especially when it comes to secondary sanctions, to sanction those countries that are not respecting sanctions and that are fueling Russia's war machine, such as India and China with energy and more. But when it comes to direct sanctions on Russia, it's unlikely to sway Vladimir Putin, who has been redirecting and redesigning his country's economy into a war economy now for a few years. Mm-hmm. And that means for Russians, there's some shortages, but most of them do not feel the war. And so it won't make a big difference.
The peace deal, which was being spoken about by President Trump and his associates last week, prior to that meeting that he had in St. Peter's in the Basilica in Rome with President Zelensky. That peace deal involved Ukraine giving up significant amounts of territory to Russia, including a claim on Crimea. I mean, is that something that ultimately Ukraine could agree to if there were security guarantees built into that peace deal?
Sure. I mean, Ukraine could agree to anything. The problem, of course, is, like you said, security guarantees. And the West, especially under U.S. leadership, seems unwilling to consider credible security guarantees. But there's also another problem. If I were the decision maker, one of the decision makers in Kyiv, I would not be even considering such a deal, because and for the Europeans, for the European Union alike, this is not a deal that is sustainable and in our collective European interest, both economically as well as geopolitically. And Crimea is key to that. If we give or we enable or encourage Ukraine to give up Crimea, that means that in the long run, Ukraine will have difficulty exporting via the Black Sea. And that means that in the long run, the biggest European country will have problems being sustainable and will need more economic and financial aid from us, the rest of the Europeans. Okay. And so that's not something that we want to look at seriously. That's not in the European interest.
Professor Yulia Joccia from Georgetown University, thank you very much for speaking with us this afternoon. Now, ahead of the meeting between the US and Ukrainian leaders in Rome, there were several Russian missile attacks on Ukraine this week. Ukrainians continue to live a life where they're in and out of shelters as these attacks continue. And last week, an underground school shelter funded by the Irish government was opened by the Minister for European Affairs, Thomas Byrne, who visited Odessa, and he's just returned from there and joins us on the line now. Minister, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Justin.
What was your sense when you visited Ukraine about the prospect of the country agreeing to a peace deal which would see them surrender territory to Russia and give up a claim on Crimea?
Well, just to be very blunt about that, I was in Kyiv as well, and I was there when President Zelensky gave a press conference after a memorial to the attack the other night. He was very, very clear that legally he couldn't do it, that he actually could not give up territory. It's in their constitution. And it's very, very simple about that. And I think our priority, and I think the Ukrainians' priority, is to make sure that they can get a just, comprehensive and lasting peace, something that actually will last, because we've seen before with Russia, time and time again, they've completely betrayed their own commitments and gone again. And we cannot allow that to happen. I mean, they're an incredible people. They're so resilient. And I have to say as well, they're very grateful for the American involvement. I don't think they agree, obviously, with every aspect of what Donald Trump has said or done, but they're very grateful for the involvement. And we do hope that it can bring peace to that country, because what's happening there at the moment is absolutely outrageous. I mean, the government here, together with the Lithuanian government and indeed the European Commission, jointly funded, well, they're called school shelters, but in fact, they're actually underground schools with sports classes, special needs rooms, music rooms, etc., etc. And it was great to be there to inaugurate it with the local community and the national government. But on the other hand, it makes everybody, I think, extremely angry that this has to happen.
And what did you learn then about the impact that this war is having on people in those cities, and especially on the children who remain there and have to have these shelters so they can continue their schooling?
Well, to be quite frank, I saw firsthand their courage, their dignity, their resilience. But I do wonder as well how all this is impacting on them. I mean, getting up repeatedly in the middle of the night for air raids, or during school having to go down to a bomb shelter to learn in classrooms with no windows. It's hard to know how they're keeping up, but they are certainly doing extremely well for what they're going through at the moment. And to speak to children in the special needs unit, to speak to children learning English or German, it was a very emotional moment, really. And it does show how important it is for Ireland to show up, because we need to continue to support them. What they want is the European dream, the dream of freedom. That's what they want. They didn't start this. Russia started this because Ukraine wants to be on the Western European philosophy or our future, so to speak.
Okay. And now you talk about Ireland supporting Ukrainians, and there are many thousand of Ukrainian families in Ireland. Can I ask you, though, about the thousands of people who marched yesterday in our capital city against immigration? There are various reports about the numbers involved, but it was certainly several thousand people who attended that march. What's your reaction when you see thousands of people taking to the streets with a message that they want mass deportations and they want immigrants out of this country?
Well, you know, quite frankly, if some of them people, some of whom were holding up posters of Putin, want to go and get treated in an Irish hospital or want to go to a restaurant anywhere in this country, they're going to find immigrants doing some of that work. This is the reality of the world that we live in. I think the government has taken quite a tough but fair approach to immigration. It's a fact of life around the world, and Irish people have migrated more than anybody else. And I think what Jim O'Callaghan is doing very good work in making sure that we have a robust system to protect the country, but does allow people in who need to work, and we do need a lot of people. That protest yesterday was certainly reasonably significant, but it's just a protest. There's far more people in hospital in Ireland getting treated by migrants at the moment than there were at that protest
yesterday.
But
do the people who attended that protest, do they also need to be listened to?
Well, I think everybody needs to be listened to. I mean, we are a democracy, so when you have a general election like we did last November, people vote, and they vote for their parties, and they vote for policies that those parties have committed to implementing. And that's what we're doing in government. And quite frankly, they have a right to protest in Ireland because we're, you know, a democracy, because of our constitution, and because we're members of the European Union. They would not have the right to protest in the Russia that some of them held up as some sort of exemplar. That's the reality, and that's the hypocrisy of some of what was going on in that particular protest yesterday. It's very, very easy to don the green jersey and sing about simple nationalism. But the reality is that our progress as a country and our economic success as a country has been fueled by this country becoming more open. That's more open to investment coming in, Irish people going abroad and coming back and learning new skills. Okay. And yes, new people coming to this country as well have contributed to where we are as a country today.
Thomas Byrne, Minister for European Affairs, thank you very much for speaking with us today.